bringing beer to your ear. It's time for What's on Tap. What's on Tap on KX93.5.
That indeed it is. It's What's on Tap this month with Valiant Brewing on KX93.5. I'm Brian Holst, and I am joined by a large crew for today's episode. We have my usual guests from the KX Volunteer crew. We got Don Damari from the Groove Express, and we have Jim Kennedy from Clashing Heads. Oh, there we go.
Oh, sorry. Was I supposed to say hi? Hi.
There we go. Sorry about that.
Hello, Laguna.
Hello. And then, of course, Howard from Straub Distributing is with us, and he has some guests to introduce.
Yes. How you doing, Brian?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
Awesome. What a beautiful day down here.
It has been a beautiful week, really. I mean, the views of Catalina every day have been astounding. I mean, you can see it right to left, you know?
You know, they say brewers have the best jobs, but I don't know. With this view you have, I think you might have it.
I enjoy the morning drive when I come in. I can say that much. It's a nice little drive.
Yeah, today we have Caitlin. Caitlin works for Straub Distributing. She does our social media.
Yeah, so Caitlin, tell me a little bit more about that. And how are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are
you? I'm well. Make sure to get nice and close to the microphone. Sorry. we didn't touch on that one. So tell me, you do social media for Straub. And, I mean, what does that involve? I imagine a lot of Twitter action, right? And, you know, I think we're having problems with your microphone. Hold on a second here. Yeah, sorry about that. How odd.
That's okay.
There you are.
Now I can hear
I was
myself.
Just like, you know, I know we turned down the headphones a little bit, but I really cannot hear.
I couldn't hear myself.
I'm so sorry about that.
No, I can't.
So, a lot of Twitter, and you use a lot of hashtags. We were talking about this off air before we started. Hashtagging is really, really big, especially with craft brews, right?
Yes. It's like its own special little world.
So, and what makes, I mean, is it sort of a, is it a lot of a, like, fan base generated? Like, oh, hey, like, they're just trying to support the...
Yeah, it's just a lot of people that are really into craft beer, and they post probably, like, a couple times a day, like, their favorite craft beer, and then do, like, I would say, like, 20 to 30 different hashtags. Just, like, maybe, like, beer, drink local. There's just a ton of, like, different craft words that they use.
All right. And so what's let's say someone's out and they're having dinner. What's the sort of hashtag they might use if they're having Valiant, for example?
If they're having Valiant, since it's a local brewery, probably drink local would be the main hashtag.
All right. And then, of course, we also have a gentleman whose name I will be able to remember very well because it's my own. Howard, why don't you introduce him?
Yeah, we have Brian here. Brian is the head brewer and... is also the owner of Valiant Brewing.
Hey everyone, how you doing? This is awesome. Glad to be here today.
And yeah. I want to say a little bit about Brian and all the new brewers out there. These guys have a really tough job because they have to manage their brewing, they have to manage their staff, they have to figure out where they spend the money. So I appreciate all the effort these guys put in as new brewers, and I just want to thank you.
Oh, it's absolutely my pleasure, Howard. You know, we do it for the love of the craft beer. That's why we're here. We're here to make a difference for everybody and teach them what's going on in the craft beer. So definitely, this is like my giving back to the community.
Yeah, you're doing a great job there, Brian.
Thank you.
I think we have our microphone problem fixed.
Awesome.
All right,
so good stuff. And today you brought the Axiom, right?
Yes, we brought Axiom. It's our Trappist-style beer.
Tell us, what is a Trappist-style beer?
Trappist-style beer is really... we have to say style because it is actually brewed outside of a monastery, because most of the Trappist names are kind of held within monasteries around the world. A lot of them are actually outside of the U.S. There is one, though, that just came in the U.S. that I came aware of in like last month or two. So, but it's a monastery life that they would brew their beer right inside, and the beer was to support their lifestyle. It wasn't supposed to be trying to make money. So that's where it's...
They made it for themselves.
But for themselves, but also for actually during fasting. They would drink the beer instead of having bread and other things. So,
I think we've talked about that at some point in the past, right, Howard?
Yes, and it helps support their monasteries. And when visitors come, they sell it to them. And
I think we were talking about that during Oktoberfest.
Yes. There's six of them in Belgium. There's one in the Netherlands. Then there's another one here.
And we thought this Axiom would be a great... great feature to bring online here. Kind of come into the holidays, Thanksgiving, because of the different components, which we'll get into about this beer. Really pairs nicely.
So I was reading, I mean, tell us a little bit about it then, because from what I was reading on the back of the label, which, by the way, is amazing. Well, I mean, tell us about your background, because I think that's really, really interesting.
Well, it came from automotives into aerospace. So I was an aerospace engineer for about 12 years. So I got to work on flight control systems, you know, unmanned missions and all these kind of really far out there projects. But that just didn't take it. I mean, I wanted a little bit more challenge, and actually beer is my challenge. With the complexities that are out there, there are so many different variables that we have to work with that we can make these beers so special. And that really kind of got my interest going. Having that background in engineering allows me to kind of have those tools to really understand what we're trying to do with these beers and how to push them to other levels and to refine them. So Axiom is a great a testament to what we're trying to do of complexity, of flavor profile, drinkability, and just pure, just awesome, good craft beer that's local.
What I think is really cool is that the label on the Axiom bottle is water resistance, which is something you were thinking about ahead of time when you were starting.
Yeah, you know, when those coolers, you need to know what bottle's which.
I picked it. I mean, it's a big bottle. I picked it up. I was like, oh, it's smooth and glossy. It's really, I mean, it looks really, really nice.
Well, that's part of my background.
The presentation,
too, like
you know.
I really appreciate it. That's what form, fit, and function. That's how things are in life.
Right, exactly.
You have an engineer who's a head brewer. The guy thinks ahead, and basically you get a very well-crafted and a well-engineered product.
Yes.
So, please, Howard.
There's so many, I go to so many tastings where people bring their bottles out of the cooler, out of the ice chest, and the label's fallen off, and it's all nicked and scarred. That's what's nice when you pull this one out. It doesn't do that.
And, you know, presentation counts, obviously. If you're showing it to someone, you know, the label's falling off. It's going, man.
Yeah, craft beer, I mean, you got to be able to capture someone's eye, too, as they're going down amongst all the thousands of other SKUs and bottles that are out there. And we definitely, that's one thing that we want, keep things simple, but very precise. Because that's exactly how we do things at our brewery. We don't try to go crazy. We try to make sure that we're looking at all the details. And that's what this our image and our logo is very much a sign of that.
So you like to, you try to hone in and have a very precisely crafted, perhaps maybe a smaller range, or do you still have a wider range like some other craft brewers?
We have a huge range.
Okay,
we're up to about
doubly impressive,
65 huh? different styles of beers that we've brewed, and it just continues and continues. And the detail that we're talking about, we can definitely go on that later, of just from water treatment to hop selections to the barley to our process, our equipment, you know, to fermentation. It just goes on and on and on. Even carbonation levels is very important.
I once worked at a water treatment plant, so.
Okay.
Oh, really?
Woo! So, that sounds like fun, right?
Does that mean you drink only bottled water now?
I don't even want to go there.
Well, we got a whole RO skid in our facility, so we're okay there.
So, Howard, we're drinking these out of snifter glasses.
Yes. This is for this type of beer, and it's a big alcohol beer. That's what you want, the type of glass to
high be. High alcohol content, you mean?
Very high.
What is that alcohol content? I don't have the bottle in
10,
front of
10,
me.
5.
Oh, that's pretty strong.
Yes. You like those strong ones, Don.
Well,
I
do, because then you don't have to drink as much. If you have a lower content, then you drink too much, too many calories. I already have enough of a stomach. I mean, I feel that I do.
Well, here, let me pass the bottle down to you.
Yeah, so a stronger beer, you can drink a little
less. Well, question for you. Do you taste the alcohol?
No, I don't. But
and that's one aspect that it's part of the fermentation science part of it, that we have to make sure that not to get the fusel alcohols to a level that becomes distracting to the beer. And Axiom is a good testament of what we're trying to do with coming in at 10.5%, where it's about the flavor and not hitting all this aroma from the alcohols.
Yeah, that's one thing I noticed. I've tasted a number of your beers, and that the alcohol is very, very, I wouldn't say well hit, but it's well blended in.
Yes.
It's basically, it's smooth, and you don't really pick up the alcohol levels that I've had in some of the other beers that we've had that have a 10 or 11 ABV.
It's a mission of mine, definitely.
Yeah, I think that's a really apt description, because, I mean, I can taste this probably as a slightly high, but it's so smooth, you know, it's not
drinkable. And that drinkability is a very key component in craft beer. And that's one thing that we do for all of our brands, is the drinkability. And this is just one example of just going to one of those higher levels of an ABV, and we do lower stuff. We actually do lagers and things like that. But this is for the season, as you know, as we kind of get a little bit cooler, I guess below in the 90s, right?
Right. Nice.
That would be nice. I'd like summer to go away now.
Yeah. No, really, really. I like that cool weather we have.
Exactly.
I like summer in July and
August. Like 2 weeks ago, right? Or a week ago?
It was beautiful.
So yeah.
Okay, so we have one request for Summer to Go Away. Do we have any other requests? No.
So the snifter.
Howard, I've got a question for you on yes. this on their website. I'm looking at something I haven't ever seen listed before. Oh, something I haven't seen before listed on a description of a beer, and it's called Color, and it says 19.33 SRM. Can you educate us on that?
Well, just like IBUs stands for International Bittering Units.
Sure.
The SRM is the color of the beer. So the higher the number, the darker the beer is going to be.
And what's the scale?
I don't know what the scale is. Do you, Brian? On this beer, how high the number goes?
Yeah. The SRMs can also be equated to Levibon too, which is a type of rose color. But really, the SRMs go up to 50 on the scale. As you get to about, because like it says 19, it starts to get that bronze, dark ruby color. And as you go into about 23, 24, 25, you start to go into where you almost can't see through it. So about 30 SRMs, it's pretty much almost black.
That'd be a stout.
Yeah, stout or a porter.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, what's a sort of food you might pair this with? I know I ask that each week, but, I mean, a lot of people, obviously, we're going to be buying this to serve with food, serve with dinner.
And this would be a great food beer.
Yeah, this pairs with a lot, and that's definitely what this is entailed for. You could start out with some, like, lamb stew or rabbit or some seafood mussels. That works really well for this beer. You kind of move on to, like, the more appetizer side. You have the Stilton cheese. A lot of cheeses works really well with beer just because of how it cuts through all the oils aspects to it. On the dessert side, pumpkin beer, because there's lots of phenolics that come off from the yeast profile that give you like cloves and bananas and that kind of such. That pairs really nicely with desserts like pumpkin and spices. Or just the roasted walnuts and vanilla ice cream. That sounds good to me.
Any roasted food, I would think.
Yeah. Any vanilla ice cream is good with me.
So he talks about this cutting when you have oily cheese on your tongue, that this cuts through it. Beer is a really good thing for that because beer has carbonation, and that carbonation strips your tongue clean. If you have wine, wine's a good food pairer too, but we think beer is better. We're kind of biased. But you have cheese on your tongue and you drink a sip of wine, it floats over the top of that cheese. It doesn't cut through it. Where beer with the carbonation will cut through it.
And that's basically the same reason why you keep saying that like a glass that has had beer in it is basically very clean.
Yes, it'll clean the. If you have a glass that's not a beer-ready glass, it's been stripped of all the oils. When you use beer and you drink out of it, that beer also acts as a cleaning agent. It'll clean that glass. So you want to keep the same glass if it's not a beer-ready glass already. A beer-ready glass is a glass that's been stripped of all the oils and all the smells. You use a sodium-based soap to do that. If you use a liquid soap, it has oils or paraffin in it, and it leaves a film on there, and it makes the color of foam dissipate real fast. That's why people think they're getting gypped when they get the beer and the color of foam's fall. But if you have a beer-ready glass, the color of foam retains much longer.
Yeah, head retention.
Yes,
that's very important for craft beers. That kind of shows the other aspect of what you're about to drink, right? That's the first thing you do when you get a beer, you see it. So the color and the head retention tells you a lot about what you're about to experience.
And that collar of foam, like you said, head retention is very important because when you release it, when we pour the beer down the middle of the glass, release that carbonation, it makes it a nice collar of foam, and that's where the aroma is. And that's what you want to smell when you're drinking a beer is the aroma. So it's important to have a two-finger collar of foam.
Which is, again, one of the reasons that we're drinking out of a snifter glass.
Yes.
Right. It's very. And then one last comment on that is actually the density of the foam, if you can believe it. Is it porous on the bubbles and how thin it is? It tells you also about what kind of carbonation levels that beer has.
Interesting.
And what kind of mouthfeel you're about to expect with it, too.
So if it's a thicker thicker head, it's more carbonation?
You'll see like more coarse bubbles.
Huh.
So it'll be a higher carbonation like a Hefeweizen, for example, or a Saison.
Or tighter bubbles.
Following up on the bubbles, because there's a theory in champagne making that the smaller the bubble, the better the champagne. Is there a similarity where the smaller the bubble in the foam relates to quality of product, or is that not something that's a similarity?
It's on the style.
Okay.
So, like, wheat beers are really highly carbonated.
Okay.
And really, too, another thing that allows us, the craft beer side, to really dial in these beers to the palate is to adjust the carbonation levels, because that does change of how you perceive the flavor on your tongue. So it's really important, too. That's what The finer the bubbles actually might be for a stylistic standpoint to allow that beer to present itself nicer to your palate. Yeah, it's kind of out there.
No, not at all. I mean, we get into some of these things because, I mean, besides talking about, you know, gray beer, we're also trying to do beer education as well.
Right.
So, Don,
that's
you like
Howard's
it?
Howard's very passionate about.
Yeah, it's a wonderful beer. It's really good. Thank you very much for sharing it with us. You always share such great beer. It's great.
Well, thanks, thank you.
Don. What do you think, Caitlin?
It's really good. I like it.
Well, let's listen to a song real fast, and then we're going to come back and we'll talk more about Valiant and their Axiom. This is U2 with Desire. It's brand new music on Laguna's Only FM from Jukebox, The Ghost, Sound of a Broken Heart. I'm Brian Holst, and this is What's on Tap. I'm joined once again by the Valiant crew, as well as Straub Distributing. How is everyone enjoying their Axiom?
This is a lovely beer.
It is lovely.
Very tasty.
Yes. And strong.
And well-balanced.
Well, smooth.
Yeah, smooth, yes. Well-crafted.
So the Axiom name, is there a meaning behind that?
Names are a very long, long discussion.
Okay.
I think we could probably
Is it like a TLDR sort of thing? You know, just a little...
It's crazy. I think for every name that we come up on a beer, we probably spend close to about 6 months before we actually get resolution on it. My mechanical brain thinks in terms of, like, I know what I want, so it's just like I list attributes, and I can't think of the name. And my brother-in-law, he's very methodical that way. So he could take all that information and actually come up with different names, and we go through the sequence where we kind of go back and forth until finally one resonates with me. I'm like, that's the name, but it takes quite a bit.
That is a little bit of a process.
So Axiom was one of those names that we took – quite a long time, but it really fits true to, like, kind of like you can picture stone walls. You can picture these forts of these monasteries very well.
I'm a big believer that a shorter name is a better name in most cases.
Yes, exactly.
Well, it's like if you're someone starting a radio show, you know, shorter the sweeter, you know, that sort of thing.
Yes.
So, how is our social media fan enjoying her Axiom?
Oh, it is delicious.
Me?
I was actually going to post a picture.
Were you hashtagging?
Not yet. Okay. About to. Give me like 5 minutes.
Okay.
But it's very good. It's very easy to drink.
Tag impending.
Hashtag
in process.
Hashtag for hashtag pending.
Oh, can you double hashtag? Or
no,
is that like,
okay.
Too but
many
the
hashtags.
That's a nice looking glass you got there.
Thank you. I'm going to take it home with me if I can.
It's a lovely Valiant snifter.
Valiant Snifter. That sounds like a band name. If you're at home and you're starting in any band, Valiant Snifter, that's yours.
Versus
it's
White
yours.
Burritos.
Although you might want to make sure there's no copyrights or anything.
Yes.
Like that.
But it is designed to get your nose into the beer.
Absolutely.
Allow you to really encompass all the aroma profiles. And that's really the first thing that, you know, when you experience a beer is after seeing the beers, you need to then go for the aroma side. It is really the next thing to dissipate. Like Howard mentioned about the foam taking place and seeing the head retention, when you have an opportunity to go ahead and represent a beer and to get an idea of what's happening, right when it's poured, you should immediately pull it up to your nose and start to go through that. And Axiom is quite complex in that there's lots of graham cracker notes that comes off of it.
I read that on the label. Cranberries or something, right?
Yeah, cherries.
Cherries, okay.
Cherries, dark
wrong
fruits.
Wrong seafruit.
Prunes, raisins.
Yeah, I got some raisin.
A little clove. There's a slight heat that comes off of it, but it's
I definitely sense the heat.
A little caramel, a little toffee. So you wrap those all together. There's quite a bit happening there.
It's funny. For whatever reason, you know, when I have Howard in here and he's talking about one of these craft brews, I can never pick it out. But then once they say it, I'm like, oh, yeah, I taste that banana ester or whatever it might be, you know.
Yes.
It's a power of suggestion.
Well, sometimes. Exactly. But when you have – he's talking about the European Hefeweizens we have from, mm-hmm. And the German Hefs, and they have notes of clove and banana in it, and that's what he's, and that's from the yeast.
I can definitely taste the clove in this, and I think the raisin as well.
In most of these attributes that I'm talking about too, they drive in my head when we're going through these beers before they're even born, before they come a liquid here, and all these profiles can come together in a systematic way that allows us to go through and select the proper malts, allow us to achieve some of these aromas. The fermentation side, specific yeast that we're going to use to help derive these attributes as well, the process in which we're brewing the beer. So there's quite a bit that goes into it, but all these kind of settle in my head before we actually get to the brewing process.
Because you've planned it out to a T ahead of time.
I love it. I absolutely love it.
The way that he's beaming right now when he talked about the whole planning, if you could see it, it's priceless. But this is radio, so I guess that's how it works.
Yeah. One of the things that I would suspect is a beer like this, might you guys have won any awards for this beer?
Yeah. Thanks for bringing that up. That was actually, let's see here. We're not even coming up on 2 years yet for our brewery. And this beer has taken a gold at the California State Fair in 2013. Gold at the LA International Beer Competition, LA International. So that's important to understand there. Gold at the San Diego International Beer Festival. So this actually beat out other imports of this style beer.
So which is called what again?
A Trappist.
That's right. Thank you.
silver at the California State Fair and bronze at the U.S. Open. So it's doing really well so far.
That is impressive. And congratulations as well.
Thank you.
Congrats, yes.
Well earned, I'm sure, from hours of detailed planning.
Now, Jim, you told me you saw this somewhere. Where'd you see it?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, if someone's at home and they want to buy this, you saw it at Costco.
Yeah, well, I've seen it a couple places. I saw it at Costco a couple weeks ago, and I saw it just yesterday at a Sprouts Market. This and one of the others was in there. Actually, I have a picture of it. I was going to send to Howard, but I forgot to send the picture.
Yeah,
I've seen it there.
Total Wine.
Okay,
sure. That's a they're a great store for any kind of craft beer, and so is BevMo. You know, all the major craft beer places are carrying Axiom right now.
So and you said Sprouts, I think, right?
Yeah, I saw it at Sprouts.
Oh, you saw Sprouts.
That was where I took a picture of it. Okay. Sprouts. I took a picture at Costco too. But.
That's amazing. You had it at Costco. That means you're.
It was they had like a cube display, and they were like one quarter of the cube, one facing side of the cube.
Brian must have been excited when he saw that display.
I had several Facebook and Instagram messages hit me that day. It was great.
Nice. Like I was saying, it's a good story.
Does it feel like you've made the big time because now you're in Costco?
I tell you, my wife and I, it's the best feeling that we can get. When we're walking around and we see our beer on stores or, you know, out and about, it is the most gratifying thing. Yeah. Hey, all of our hard work is right there.
You did that. We finally got there. Yeah, I know. Or you did that. I mean, yeah. Exactly.
Is that a bad pun? Big time at Costco? I'm not quite sure.
No. Moving on.
By the way, I want to give a shout out to a listener of this show. I met a listener
show
of the station and a big supporter. His name's John. And shout out to John. He loves the show.
Oh.
He was listening to it when Mookie was on the show and he thinks you're doing a good job. And he wants to meet you, Jim Kennedy.
Oh, okay.
He said, I really want to meet Jim because
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
No, he says, I like his little tangents that he goes on. And see, so people are listening to this.
Well, great. Of course they are.
So thank you, John.
We're famous in Laguna.
Thank you, Don.
And Aliso Vieso.
We're also big in Japan.
No.
Oh, let's be. okay.
So, Mr. Kennedy, are you celebrating after Monday or Tuesday night?
Brown winning?
Sorry. Well, not Jerry Brown winning, but yes, because Neil Kashkari, local Laguna Beach.
I just had to say it.
Because local Laguna Beach resident Neil Kashkari didn't win. But yes, it was a good night for the righty Jim side of the political aisle. Yes,
you mean marijuana being legalized too?
I don't think that happened in California.
Wow. Washington D.C.
I think this is what's on.
There we go, right wing Jim.
Don, the librarian Damari.
Don really gets lit up about the pot thing. I'm not really sure why.
Because
what that says
read,
about?
Well, I think I'm not going to talk about it on the station. But I just think it's kind of funny that people don't vote in midterms, and it was legalized in Washington D.C., where all these Republicans that are winning, they're all going to be there.
Don,
so maybe all Republicans aren't against.
Fair enough. Brian wants to talk to you about hops a little bit, and he'll describe.
Hops?
Yes.
What's
well, the hops are kind of reminiscent. And so it's the same species of them.
Really?
Of that. So.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Some beers that you smell, some of these, exorbitant IPAs will have that profile to it on the aroma side.
Well, yeah,
interesting.
Because we've had somebody
on. He's been ensnared. He's like, wait,
we've had somebody on in the past who tried to. Yeah.
We had
Nikasi?
Nikasi, yes. Yeah. They used 8 different hops in one of their brews.
Really? It's the same kind of plant?
That's a lot of hoppy.
Similar family somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. Same like family kind of thing.
Yeah,
that's cool. That's interesting.
You know, it's funny. I, Mr. Kashkari, to end your tangent. I heard him saying some very nice things about why he was running and just he's a forward thinking guy.
So yeah, well, actually, there are lots of rumors that he's running this time simply to get name recognition and that he really wants Barbara Boxer's seat in 2016. He wants to run for the Senate.
You know, name recognition, if your name's like Kashkari, is probably a fairly cheap endeavor because people remember it.
True, but it's a very large state with a lot of people, and media is very. This is very expensive state to
run. And then now. But yeah.
Jim, when I was looking at the comparisons, he believes the same things as our governor does.
Well, yeah, he doesn't. He has issues with differentiation on where he is. But this is California, and trying to run as a Republican kind of limits to how far to the right you can go if you want to get elected. So, but tune in Sunday. We're going to be talking about the election results on Clashing Heads.
That will be interesting.
And we'll be going over those issues. And actually, it will actually be the final Clashing Heads episode. We'll talk about that as in do why.
Is Lefty L, is he leaving?
Well, tune in and we'll tell you on Sunday what's going to happen.
There's not going to be any more Clashing Heads?
It's going to be unveiled.
It's going to be the
Sunday.
Clashing Head?
Well, we'll be talking about that on Sunday. We talk about the future of Clashing
Heads. We have no comment to the press at this time.
Yes, exactly.
I'm on the edge of my seat.
Almost literally, because she's in the stool.
Yes.
Mr. Kennedy, so being a wine guy, what do you think about this beer?
It's very interesting. It's got a lot deeper flavor profile than I find in some of the other beers. Lots of between the raisins and the cherries. And it's also got an alcohol level closer to wine than some of the other beers that we've had. So it's very interesting. But again, just like wine is, you have the same issue with wine as you get the higher alcohol levels. If you don't craft it or make the wine responsibly, you will taste the heat or the alcohol in it. And you can make a 17% Pinot Noir that's well crafted and not tasted, similar to where this beer, which is why I was thinking, why I recognize that in this beer with a higher alcohol level, but you don't get the fire or the burn from the alcohol that you do if somebody's just blatantly trying to add alcohol without really blending it well or making a quality product.
Yes, that's and this beer too. That's one thing about it is that we do have it in our tasting room that's available to fill up with growlers and things like that. So it makes it very nice to grab a 64-ounce and take it home with you and enjoy it with the family.
So let's listen to one more song. Then we're going to come back and we will wrap up and talk about what's ahead for the month on What's on Tap and Valiant Brewing. This is brand new music from The Smiths' Johnny Marr. It's Back in the Box from his Playland album on KX93.5. And she was catapulted. That's Elizabeth and the Catapult with Happy Pop on KX93.5. It's What's on Tap on KX93.5. What we do every 4 p.m. on Friday, and Straub is here with Valiant. How's everyone enjoying their Axiom?
The Axiom is really good.
It's tasty.
Thank you, Jim.
I'm enjoying it.
I think he's really enjoying it.
He should have really shocked me. Like, God, it's awful. You know.
No, like I said, you
caught him with him sipping it, so you got to be careful.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
There's a 50-50 chance of us catching him with his sipping his beer.
Hey. I'm just enjoying the product.
I know. You are very dedicated to the hour.
I am. I work hard at it.
His glass is always the first to go dry.
He's a glass mostly empty sort of guy. So tell us what's ahead on what's ahead for this month with Valiant then?
We have quite a bit happening right now at the brewery. We have a collaboration beer that we just brewed with Black Market Brewing down in Temecula, and it's in a Russian Imperial Stout with cherries and vanilla bean. And we also have
vanilla
a special
bean.
We also went a little bit different with this in that we have smoked the malt. And we actually smoked the malt in ourselves and put that in there, so it gives it a nice aromatic quality that is unique for an Imperial Stout. It comes in at 13%, though, so it's a big boy.
Wow.
What kind of vanilla beans?
I found some Mexican vanilla beans that actually seem to fit the profile quite nicely because they're actually a little bit spicy. Mm-hmm. So awesome. I'm going to be going after that. The cherries will be coming from Oregon.
When are we going to be able to get this product?
This will be coming out 1st of December, so it'll be hitting the shelves then. We also have our seasonal fall beer, even though like the weather right now, but it's 10.5 MPG, which means molasses, persimmon, and graham cracker. So it's 10.5% Saison, and the persimmons come from local trees in Orange.
That's a citrus tree, right? Right.
Yeah, and persimmon is very much like a tomato type of texture to it, but a little spiciness to it. But it plays really nicely with the Saison.
It's a very hardwood.
Is this MPG off your hot rod days?
Yes. Fuel economy is important here.
Yeah, right. You know, that was one of the things I missed about Orange, by the way. You're talking about when it's the right time of year and you're just walking around and all those trees are in bloom and you can smell the citrus. It's like,
man. In the farmer's market, too. You go there and there's a lot to pick from the farmers that are there. And that's what we like to source a lot of our ingredients from, too. it makes our beers very special and unique to Orange, and being that local aspect, that's what we support as well.
It's good to support local businesses too.
Uh-huh. Next week we're going to be at a remote broadcast. We're going to actually be at the brewery.
Really?
Next week we're actually going to be at Valiant Brewing.
Oh, are we all going to be there?
Yes, we'd love you to be there.
And that's in the city of Orange?
I know Tyler's going to be joining you guys, and I'll be back here kind of tying it all together.
Your show with Tyler.
All right.
It's going to be fun. And
all right.
In case you guys want to know the address, it's 2294 North Batavia. It's in Unit C in the city of Orange in California. It's in an industrial area, so Brian's going to have a sign out in Batavia pointing which way to go.
We're hiring some of those dudes to stand on the corners with little arrows.
Will it be at the same time, 4 o'clock?
We might start earlier on that but it's going to air at 4, yes.
All right.
Cool.
Yeah, it'll be good stuff. Just don't go toilet papering your address tonight, folks. That's not cool.
Wouldn't that be a Halloween thing? Oh, never mind.
I don't know. Oh. I'm just being silly. It's getting dark,
Brian? We never asked you, how was your Halloween, Brian?
It was good. I went to Tyler down at Oak Street.
Oh, yeah, I saw you on Oak Street. I was there with my kids.
Looked like there was a lot of people down there from the photos I saw.
Yeah, the houses were very ornately decorated as usual. Good stuff. It was
a lot of
fun.
The kids were so cute dancing. My daughter was really dancing to the music you guys were playing.
You know,
I know it was different than the music you play normally on the station, which my daughter was very happy about. Taylor Swift was being played. She was happy.
What the Fox Say?
She's like, oh my God, what's the Fox Say?
I'm sorry, we played Taylor Swift?
Only at the Oak Street. Yeah, and my daughter was
at the
so
Oak
happy.
Street.
Oh, okay.
It was fun, although I'm not sure how I felt about a little bit of the 10-year-old twerking that I saw, but that's
all.
Well, that definitely, my daughter, she's not 8
exactly
yet, but she definitely
twerking,
would not be doing that.
It was twerk-esque.
That's just wrong.
It was twerk-esque.
That's really wrong.
I know. And anyways, moving on.
I don't think Brian's going to have any kids.
No, I'll be happy when I have a nice golden retriever puppy in my lap. I'll take care of that.
Are you sure it wasn't you twerking?
No, I'm not a twerker.
Kidding.
I just a hard worker. That's all.
Okay.
Yeah, that got
to celebrate with that hard work though. The other featured beer next week is going to be called Alpha Overdrive.
Nice.
And it's one of our core beers that comes out all the time, and we took it up a level. We bumped it to an Imperial Quad IPA, I should say.
Quad IPA.
It's at 14.3%, and we'll be bottling that in December, and they'll be hitting the shelves as well for a present
for
everybody.
I've heard Art dorking out about Quad IPAs when he joins us, so you know. Right on. And then what else are we having this month?
Are you talking about Bottle Share Art?
Bottle Share Art.
Yes. He's a true beer geek.
He's a connoisseur.
Oh, he certainly is.
Yes, he is. Yes. He finds the stuff he brings in that he finds is absolutely outstanding.
That's true. No, we definitely.
I have a sales rep that does that, and it just challenges me every day. He's like, Brian, here, check this, watch this. Like,
really?
Where'd you find this? Oh, you would never know. You know, the story behind this. I'm like, okay.
It sounds like a really fun hobby to get these really obscure beers that no one's heard of.
Some of these craft beer sellers, I'm going to say sellers, like the wine side, they're huge. I mean, they're like rooms dedicated for just their beer.
Really?
And, you know, different temperatures and all that good stuff. It's incredible. Hmm.
And the thing, too, is you can produce beer in a lot smaller batches than you can produce a wine normally. So you get some stuff that's really, really, you know, like they may only make, like, you know, 4 barrels of it. So you're going to get some really, really esoteric stuff that comes out in really, really small batches.
I cellar some beers. But, Brian, can you let the audience know what cellaring is and what kind of beers you would cellar?
Well, yeah, we could probably have a conversation, probably one whole episode related to the cellaring. Because it there is a lot of art to it. Obviously, we're dealing with sometimes beer that is what's called live. So they condition it with yeast, which means that allows that yeast to carbonate the beer and to scavenge oxygen from it, but also changes its shelf life and its characteristics of how it should be shelved, how it should be cellared. Cellared means is to let it age. There's different temperatures at which you should do that at. You know, this IPA crave that we have going on right now, but I mean, it's I love IPA, so don't get me wrong. You know, they should not be cellared. You know, they should be drunk fairly fresh, and that's because of oxidation that occurs. Not all beer can be packaged without oxidation. As we get kind of higher in the ABV and the beer can support aging, you can easily age some of these beers for 5-10 years if they're microbe stable. When I say that they're clean, that they're not getting some kind of bacteria along the way of packaging. because it's very hard, because you're talking about microbes that could really thrive off of the beer itself. It kind of allows it to happen. So cellaring is wonderful because it allows all the flavors to kind of mend together, but not all beers should be cellared. And so that's what I'm, this is kind of like my shakedown, you know, talk here. Because like I said, I could talk for a long time just on cellaring beer. But really, if you have a beer that's in the 8%, definitely in a dark place, you know, keep away from the sun. About 50, 60 degrees, that's a good, you know, spot right there to be at. Don't age them cold because it allows them to kind of mature a little bit more and the flavors kind of get together. And they'll pick up some of the oxidation, but sometimes that cherry, that little paper, the cardboardness actually kind of adds to the flavor component to it.
Excellent.
We like to do vertical taste on cellared beers. So especially barrel-aged ones, if you have like an 11, 12, 13, and you have a 14, you would do the newest one first, then go back to the oldest one and see how it refines itself.
And even though Axiom is a core beer of ours, meaning that it's a yearly produced beer of ours, you could cellar Axiom for easily 2 to 3 years and have it develop its own character on that time. So that's not a lot of core beers are allowed to do that.
Right on. All right. Well, I look forward to more of our time with Valiant over the next month. Do you have anything to add before we head out of here?
No, I just want to thank everybody for listening. And come next week to the brewery. It's a beautiful place. Brian's, you know, being an engineer, it's done right. So the tasting room is inside the brewery, so you can have beers and enjoy them and also see the brewing process.
We'll be talking about that, too, as the week comes up, getting ready for that remote as well.
Thank you so much. I had a lot of fun here tonight.
I'm glad you did. It's What's on Tap. Thanks so much, Brian, for joining us. And thank you for bringing in Ms. Hashtag. Can I just call you Ms. Hashtag?
Sure.
The Hashtag Queen. Yeah, you say that people that just call you Hashtag at work.
At work, yes. They call me Hashtag. Well, you're
technically at work right now.
Yes, so you can't call me
Fair
Hashtag.
Enough. Well, thank you, Howard. It's been great.
Thank you, guys.
We'll be broadcasting remotely from a Valiant Live next week on What's on Tap. We're going to hear from Rome in just a moment. I'm going to do the King of the Beach segment at 6 p.m. tonight as we unwind right now. It's KX 93.5.